It is Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hour number two, I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. And Gwen has brought us some scintillating, fascinating, exhilarating guests in the KSRO greenhouse. One of them we've seen before. Carrie Winogur, welcome back. It's nice to have you in the KSRO greenhouse. And who have you brought along with you?
This is Alan Chesterman, an amazing master gardener out of Sonoma County here that I've been working with for the last 4 years or so.
And Alan, what is your area of gardening expertise?
The only thing I know about is sod and my tomatoes.
So sod, not the type we plant lawns with, but sudden oak death.
Correct. Correct.
And is that based on firsthand experience or just something that you were drawn to as a topic of interest?
Drawn to as a topic of interest when I first became involved with Master Gardeners, and sudden oak death was pretty new to Sonoma County at that time.
Because we first heard about sudden oak death when we were doing the show back in the mid-90s, 94, 95 is when we first started talking about it. And we had hoped by now, you know, 25 years later, that we would have had a cure and eradicated it, but it's still going strong, isn't it?
Sure is. And Alan, it seems like, 15 years ago is when you got involved, so.
Correct.
Pretty early on.
Yeah, well, it first showed up in 1995 in Marin County. And I don't think it was up here until 2000 or so.
I remember when Jack London, it was discovered in Jack London, and we started panicking.
And a lot of times, insects and diseases, we really don't eradicate them. We can control them, we can subdue them, you know, and keep them under control. But a lot of these things, you just can't eradicate, because that takes severe, drastic measures, which we wouldn't want to do.
Yeah, when you're talking about an invasive pathogen like this, it's just this ecosystem had never seen it before. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I think about, I've come on the show a few times now, Garden Talk, and we're talking about this forest disease, but I think one thing people might not realize is that how central gardens and nurseries are to this epidemic. They actually think that the way the pathogen was introduced was through a nursery in Santa Cruz. And there's a lot of regulation put on nurseries that affects economic things around here. And it's really important to make sure that's part of the equation.
Yeah, so true.
So we're going to talk about the educational components that are available to homeowners to learn about this, how to identify it in their yards, in their gardens, in their forests, if they have such. What's the current best practices? What are the best treatments for sudden oak? How we can possibly prevent it or minimize it? Trees we probably shouldn't be planting that are vectors for this disease or to severely cut back? So we're going to learn a lot this hour for those that don't know. If you have plants that you suspect are suffering from this disease, please call us this hour at 636-1350 or shoot us an email at steve@ksro.com. Also, general gardening questions, as always, we'll take those for Gwen and me and Carrie and Alan. So it doesn't have to be about sudden oak, but that's going to be kind of the focus, at least for this hour. So why don't we just jump into, so people can put this on their calendar, when are the seminars happening?
So we have our standard sudden oak death blitz results meeting that takes place every fall, and a lot of the listeners may have actually taken place in the sudden oak death blitzes, which took place in April. And this is a time for them and for anyone else in the community to come see the results. What did we find out in the last year of this citizen science project? And then also new treatment updates out of UC Berkeley. So Dr. Mateo Garbolato from UC Berkeley is the person who'll be presenting, and this is taking place at the UC Cooperative Extension office. So that's in Santa Rosa off Airport Boulevard. And that'll be taking place this coming Tuesday. So that is November 12th from 6 to 8 p.m. We do have a registration online that's really helpful for us to know if you're coming in advance, but you can always just show up if you can't figure out how to do that.
What's the easiest website?
Well, it's always long. You always make fun of me for the websites I make.
And we will make fun of you again.
So it is ucanr.edu. They always start that way. And this one is /2019 Sod Blitz Results Meeting.
That's way too much to remember.
But it's intuitive.
I'm sure if you start typing something, it'll pop up, and then you can go, that's what I'm looking for.
You can always go to sodblitz.org. That's the UC Berkeley site, and they list all of the regional events.
Yeah. Now, if there are people out there that will want to get more in depth, They want to learn more. So there's actually a series of training workshops that are happening the following weekend.
We are pretty excited about these. So we have these sod training workshops, we're calling them. They're targeted for arborists, government and non-GO employees, managers, open space districts, people like that. But anybody is welcome to come. They're free. They offer ISA credits for professionals. And those guys are taking place both at the UC Cooperative Extension Office in Santa Rosa, and also for the very first time, we're offering one in Mendocino at the Coast Botanic Gardens. So we're very excited to expand our reach a bit. Both of those are taking place the week after next. The one in Santa Rosa is Monday, November 18th. And then the one at the Gardens in Mendocino in Fort Bragg is just the next day, Tuesday, November 19th. And both of them take place from 10 to 3.
No charge?
No charge at all.
A lot of great information. And I think is there a test you can take if you want to?
Yeah, so this is a pretty special program. So we have both Mateo Garbalato from Berkeley. We have a representative from Cal Fire. I will also be speaking. So we have a good group of folks coming to speak. And one of the things that we'll do is take kind of a pre-assessment for everybody to see what your knowledge is. And then at the end, take another one. And there's actually an online exam. And if you pass that exam, then you get to have your name as a professional, if you want to, be put online on a list of people that have gone through the training, so that if folks are interested in learning, hey, how do I contact an arborist that actually knows about this topic, we can refer them to that list.
Oh, that's a good thing to have.
So yeah. Tell us what weather conditions contribute to an increase in sudden oak death, because it seems like every year, dry spring contributes, wet spring contributes. It's like everything contributes. I never find perfect weather conditions, reduction in sudden oak. So tell us the weather conditions that contribute to an outbreak.
The most conducive weather condition is a warm, wet spring. The pathogen spreads much more quickly. It needs to have rain. Water spreads the pathogen from tree to tree, usually from bay tree to bay tree. But the bays help to infect the oaks. And the stronger the wind, the further the pathogen can move from tree to tree. So a warm, wet spring, which we had.
We had all that rain in March, April of this year. So that was bad.
And the results show that from the blitz this last late spring.
What varieties of oak trees are specifically attacked?
The two most prevalent ones here in Sonoma County are the coast live oak and the black oak. The other tree is...
We also have a shrieve oak, but that's not around here.
Well, we have tan oaks.
Tan oaks, technically not oak trees, but they make acorns and they get lumped together. Okay. And those are very susceptible. They're the only host that both can die of the disease and then also pass it on to another tree. And there is one other susceptible oak, and that's the canyon live oak. So there are five species of trees that we talk about as being able to be killed from this.
But the most common host is the California bay laurel. That's the one.
Fascinating that it's not a tree that dies, but it is the one that's easiest to see infections on, and it is responsible for the most infected oaks in nature. So once a bay laurel tree gets infected on its leaves, then the pathogen changes its life cycle into a form that can infect an oak tree. So you can't just get a direct infection from oak to oak.
A lot of people want to know, if my oak is infected, what are the chances that it will die? Is it inevitable that it will? Because we talk about these new sprays, these new these fertilizers. Every few years, there's some new treatment.
Well, Alan and I both were lucky enough to go to the Sudden Oak Death 7th International Science Symposium in San Francisco this last year. It only happens once every 3 years. And there was some research that came out that showed that approximately a quarter of coast live oak that get infected have some sort of resistance, which is a really good thing, actually. It's good news that we're hearing. Tan oak, not so lucky. We don't have any suggestion that there is resistance in tan oak. Always try to highlight the good news. But as far as sprays and things that you're speaking of, Steve, those all have to be applied before infection. Once a tree is infected, we don't know of anything that can help it survive. So a lot of people might be confused and think, oh, I have an infected tree. Now I see beetles. Let me kill the insects. Mm-hmm. That'll help. That really won't do any good at all. You really have to either hit it ahead of time if you're going to have a chance of preventing infection, or you just have to make sure that you're supporting your ecosystem. And if that tree is in a place that makes it unsafe for your home, then you might need to take it down.
Or what about just removing the bay trees? So that will remove the host and start with that. That's more practical. Or people are like, I don't want to take my bay trees down. Or
the as Mateo says, if you take down all your bays, they're all gone, but the oaks may already be infected. So now your oaks are going to leave too. So taking out all of your bays would not be a good idea, but taking out any that are within a reasonable proximity of an oak tree that you really want to keep more than anything else, it would be a good idea. But mm-hmm. Don't take down all your bays, no.
Okay, so everybody listen to that.
There is one rather new piece of research that not just removing bays around a particular oak can be helpful for spread, but thinning your bays across a large tract of land. So if you have larger acreage and you just want to make the spread slow down and less of a risk, you can selectively thin, and that does now have research to support it.
And where is the Sudden Oak Death Seminar happening?
So the Sudden Oak Death Blitz Results Meeting is taking place at the UC Cooperative Extension office. So that is off Airport Boulevard in Santa Rosa. And then the training workshops, those longer day programs, one of them is at that same location. And then the second one is actually at the Mendocino Coast Botanic Gardens in Fort Bragg.
But both of the first ones are on Aviation Drive, aren't they? Which
they
is
are.
Off Airport Boulevard in Santa Rosa.
Yes.
So easy to find if you're within the Sonoma County area. 636-1350. We have a pruning question, it looks like, on... Is it nectarines? Hi, Mitch. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, kind folks. Quickly and as brief as I can be, I have a Snow Queen on Lavelle that produced last year. I think it's 4 years old. And a lot of the fruit was on the bottom part, and the branches are spindly. And I'm not sure if I should take them off all the way to the base of the tree or just trim the new growth back to give it a little more uniformity in its shape.
So I remember this question, Mitch, and I don't think we got a chance to ask you, are all these branches coming from the ground, from the base of the tree, or are they up in the top of the tree?
No, there's, I mean, it's probably 50-50 from the bottom, but they're just really long and thin, but they did produce some fruit last year, but it seems to me that it would be prudent to prune them back a little bit, I guess.
Well, there are things with that rootstock that you were talking about, the Lavelle rootstock, that those shoots that are coming up from the ground, from below the graft, is from that rootstock and not from the variety Snow Queen that you planted, that it's grafted to. So anything, you can see where the graft is close to the bottom of the tree, right?
Yes, I can see
okay.
It right here.
So anything that's coming below, that's growing below that graft, you need to cut out.
Okay.
So the problem happens is that once you start cutting, you're going to keep invigorating that rootstock to keep growing. So you're going to have to stay on top of those and what we call suckers.
Okay.
Those are suckers. So those have to get out of there. Even though they produce some fruit for you, they will eventually take over, and your Snow Queen variety will just kind of fade away and just peter out, and that's the end of that. So, you know, you have to decide which one you want to keep. You can't have both.
So is there any particular time, like now, to go ahead and do it? There's
yeah.
still green leaves
yeah.
on it.
Yeah, I would go ahead and get rid of all those suckers now, because the longer they stay, you know, the bigger they get, so go ahead and prune them. You can also prune them as you see them growing, too. And if you make, if you can kind of tear them off instead of making a nice clean cut, then they'll have less of a chance to come back, because a jagged edge is a lot harder for a new shoot to come out from than a nice clean cut. But
you guys are a veritable plethora of information, and I enjoy listening to you both all the time, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you. We haven't heard from you for a while, and I want to let you know your okra seeds that you gave me did really well, and I saved a few pods, so now I have my own seeds.
Wow.
Well, that's great, and I'm already getting green shoots on my fava beans.
Mine aren't even in the ground. Good for you.
Good hearing from you, Mitch. We'll be right back. Continue our conversation about sudden oak death and what are some of the treatments that are approved and that have been proved effective. And we'll also maybe even do a general cost comparison about what the cost of removing those oaks are going to be. Any of you that have had large trees removed, many, 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 many thousands of dollars versus treatment of these, which in the long run may be just as cost effective. We'll tackle that also. Gwen Kilcher and our special sudden oak death guests are with us in the KS Arto Greenhouse. You can reach us now, 636-1350, or shoot us an email, steve@ksarto.com.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Brett Musburger. Please join me for play-by-play of every Raiders game on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO, 103.5 and 94.5.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Hi, I'm Carol. As owner of the Gift Horse Home Store, I've assembled an amazing collection of holiday items to create a unique and wonderful season of home decor.
Hi, I'm Carlene. We have some wonderful holiday gift ideas for you. Lodge, a great selection for that special person in your life. Tramontina, offering the best stock pots and roasting pans for your Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners. Mention this ad and receive 10% off. Le Creuset, which would make a great gift for anyone, has a house special on the Zen tea kettles. Regularly $80, now $59.99.
The Gift Horse also carries beautiful tabletop, bed, and table linens. If your home is missing that certain something, come to the Gift Horse and you just might find that perfect home accent.
From our door to your door.
We're next to Garaday's Hardware in Hillsburg.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
Home decor and more.
Open every day 9 to 6.
Here's a message from the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
So much water, so little time. A mosquito can go from egg to an adult in less than a week. Dump out containers and other items holding standing water. Clean out clogged rain gutters, empty potted plant saucers. Anything that can hold water for more than 5 to 7 days has the ability to produce mosquitoes.
Report mosquito problems to the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District at msmosquito.com.
Internet Essentials from Comcast helps millions of families, like the West family, get the internet they need to be ready for anything.
Like doing my homework.
And applying for jobs.
Applying to colleges, too.
Paying bills.
Playing games.
But not until your homework's done.
Through Internet Essentials, Comcast has connected more than 8 million people from low-income households to low-cost, high-speed internet at home, most for the first time, so they're ready for anything. Learn more at comcastcorporation.com/internetessentials.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Thank you.
So we will certainly take as many of your calls, prioritize those with our special guests in the KS Arnold Greenhouse discussing sudden oak death. Why don't you try to explain in clear language what this new threat is in California?
Sure. So this, what we're talking about is a different strain of the pathogen. So the pathogen is called Phytophthora ramorum, and there are different strains of it. So what we have in California right now is NA1, stands for North America 1. There's a different strain in Europe, and it's doing different damage. It's killing conifers and other things that we don't have to worry about here. Now, pretty recently, they discovered this EU, stands for Europe, EU1 strain in Oregon. So we've been worried that it's going to make it down into California. Mm-hmm. For various reasons, this EU1 strain is more worrisome. It may be able to reproduce in a more dangerous way, recombining instead of just being a clonal organism. It seems to be more aggressive. It seems to resist treatments such as Agrifos. So for multiple reasons, this EU1 strain is worrisome. Now, for the sudden oak death blitzes, we usually just test, is there disease in this sample? But for this year, 2019, it was the first year we were actually able to test what strain is present in each sample. So they tested, is this the EU1 strain? Thank goodness, a little bit of good news here, they did not find any EU1 strain in our California forests in the sod blitz. But it doesn't mean that that threat is gone. It just means we have kind of a baseline now where we know, all right, right now, things are looking okay as far as where we search. Now, I always want to give a caveat here. The sod blitzes don't cover everywhere. So, for example, there was a Press Democrat article this morning that came out about sudden oak death, and it points out some areas where we found infections that weren't there previously. But there's other surveys that go on, such as an aerial survey by the USDA, and that found some infections in areas where there wasn't even any testing done for the sod blitz. So you just have to be careful, and if you don't see your area as a place that's targeted as infected, it doesn't mean it's free of infection.
That's very helpful news. From Casadero, Daniel is on the line with Like a Word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how you doing today?
Very well.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about, I met a guy years ago at the Health and Harmony Festival. He had a booth there. It was called Sudden Oak Life. He was from England. He was a researcher, and he had quite a few interesting things to say. The one stuck in my mind was his one statement, all forests eventually turn into peat bogs. I thought that was incredible, but he's been studying them over there. He came here, and he said he made a treatment with a whitewash for the trunks, and it was lime and oyster shell and, I guess, lime and something else, and he'd make a whitewash and go up there and paint the tree trunks about 12 feet up to prevent the sudden oak death and stop it in its tracks once it did start to eat your tree up. And he was having mixed results with, it was over 50% already infected, he couldn't save the tree. But if it was under, his whitewash would actually stop the progression of the disease too.
Well, interesting. We'll have our experts comment on that, and thanks very much for the call. Do you know anything about this type of treatment?
I have not heard of it. And Dr. Matteo Garibaldo has not studied it.
Okay.
The only things that they have recommended are Agrifos type.
And Agrifos is a trademark.
Yes, there are other. Correct. Yeah, but it's definitely the one that is scientifically proven to prevent the disease in most treatments, in most trees. But it's quite a process to apply Agrifos.
Or was there a Pentabark? Was that one of the trade?
That's a surfactant that helps it. If you spray it on, it sticks to the tree better. But usually the injection method does a better job of protecting the oak tree.
So that will help prevent the disease.
Yes.
But it's an ongoing process, and I think you probably need to spray. I think in November is one, and then in spring is it a couple times a year? Or no?
They just changed the frequency, and they really do. It's every other year now, and it's between Halloween and Christmas. So now is the perfect time if you want to treat some of your oaks with Agrifos. Do it.
So you would need to get the leaves, if you suspect it, analyzed first, because there's phytophthora, there's fungal problems, there's borer problems, there's things that may kind of look like it, possibly, or either of you? I mean, as far as the leaf damage, is there something that a homeowner is going to say, oh, yeah, that's sudden oak death? They're going to know emphatically?
No, not on an oak. Oak trees are what we're worried about.
Yeah.
The leaf of an oak tree does not exhibit sod symptoms. If you see dead leaves, it could be sod, but not necessarily. You have to check the bark.
Yeah, so you really want to look at whether there's bay trees around that have infected leaves, and sometimes a lot of ornamentals, such as rhododendrons, camilla, those things can also have leaf symptoms. But there is a relatively new program that tree care professionals can sign up for at a pretty good cost through UC Berkeley, called Oak Step, and it's a way of directly testing oak trees for sudden oak death. Whereas before, that would cost you thousands of dollars with someone like Dr. Garbolato coming out. Now you can have it be a trained arborist that is able to do it for a pretty low cost. And that's another thing that you can hear about at the results meeting.
So would you have a list of arborists that are qualified to provide this?
So UC Cooperative Extension, we can't recommend particular people, but we can post the names of people who have gone through our training programs, who presumably have gotten up to date on these things.
At this sudden oak death blitz meeting coming up on Tuesday, I like Daniel's information that he shared with us, because all those ingredients are, you know, organic, and it seems like an organic way to go. And to talk to Dr. Garbolato and ask him, hey, maybe this is something you should look into.
Yeah, let me reply more directly to him. I for one, that's such a catchy name, Sudden Oak Life.
thanks, Daniel. I like that.
I definitely need to look into that. It's amazing how many things are out there that, you know, we may not have heard of. I also know that there is a soil amendment that, if you do this recommended treatment, can help, and that is about changing the pH of your soil and things. And that seems somewhat related to what Daniel was hearing about. So I'm definitely going to look into it. But I know that it is, as Alan said, not something that UC Berkeley has studied at this point.
But the doctor will cover that, both Agrifos and what you're referring to as the phosphonate fertilizer that was used successfully. So will he cover that in the presentation?
He'll talk about gypsum amendments in your soil, phosphonates on your tree, which can be injected or sprayed. Yes, definitely a strong treatment approach.
So put it on your calendar. It's this coming Monday, isn't it?
It's actually Tuesday.
Tuesday the 12th. Mm-hmm. And it's what time again?
It is from 6 to 8 p.m.
And how to sign up? We can't say this enough during the hour.
I know. Either go to sodblitz.org, and then you can look up community meetings, and it'll be right there with the link. Or if you want to register directly, ucanr.edu/2019 Sodblitz Results Meeting.
Let's take one call before we take a break, and we have several calls, and we'll get to them as quickly as possible. Nicholas, welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. A question about mites, I believe.
Yeah, I had an issue with russet mites, and I'll try to be concise. I understand, you know, because I had my 6 cannabis plants that I was legally allowed to have, and I had some tomatoes, and I understand the deal, you know, how I had them, how I got them through these clones, but I got rid of them mostly, but I had to cut a lot of the bottom of the plants off and all. I sprayed them with an organic fertilizer, kind of like Glenn was talking about, this big time thing, trademark name, but what I'm wondering is, how do I not have them next year? Do I need to do something to the soil or the pots? And this is all outdoors, no greenhouse.
You know, mites in general love a dry, dusty environment. Dry, dusty, dirty environment, because we don't have any rain, we don't have any humidity and whatnot. So I have a few plants that have thrips on them, and they also like those conditions as well. So the best thing that you could do is once in a while wash your plants off. Get a strong spray on your hose, wash them off, and give them a shower. And that's like the easiest way to take care of the problem. They won't like that environment, so they won't survive, or they won't stay in your plant, and they'll go someplace else.
They don't overwinter in the soil.
In the dirt?
Yeah, they do. They do overwinter, yeah. Yeah, but once they start wanting to go onto your leaves and start sucking the juice out of the leaves, then you'll just, you know, as your plants are growing is when you're going to start giving them a shower. And then they're so tiny, even with the strong spray of water, that'll just knock them off someplace else or just be strong enough to kill them, since they're almost microscopic.
The best offense is a good defense.
Yes, exactly.
Well said. Does that help, Nicholas?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's your best bet.
Thanks for calling us this morning. It was an interesting question. Let's grab a question from Lee up in Healdsburg. Now, this is a different Lee. We have obviously two Lee listeners in Healdsburg.
I wonder if they know each other.
We'll ask this Lee. Do you know the other Lee in Healdsburg, Lee? Lee's not responding. Let me find out why Lee's not responding. Oh, no, Lee's not there. Lee, are you there? Okay, she's not there. That means we need to take a break. We'll come back. We'll take more calls both on the telephone and also via email. Steve at ksro.com or 636-1350. And we have our two sudden oak death experts joining us in the greenhouse this morning. So if you have a question about treatment for that, please address your questions to them.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Hello, I'm Joyce Defala, the Assistant Minister at the Center for Spiritual Living. You may have heard our program, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun, a half hour of practical spiritual inspiration at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. We want to let you know that in addition to our Sunday morning services, we also have an informal Sunday evening gathering at 7 p.m. and a free one-hour class on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We'd also like to invite you to visit our store, Stepping Stones Books and Gifts, where you'll find a wide range of items for the spiritually inclined. Open Sunday through Wednesday, that's Stepping Stones Books and Gifts at the Center for Spiritual Living, 2075 Occidental Road. Or visit Stepping Stones online at steppingstonesbooksandgifts.org. And don't forget, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun at 8:30 on Sunday mornings.
Sonoma County has become smarter by cutting down on waste, and that includes electronic devices. It's not only good for the planet, it's illegal to dispose of many electronic devices in your trash can. Toxic materials from your TV, laptop, cell phones, and similar devices contaminate the earth when they break down.
Fortunately, Zero Waste Sonoma, in partnership with the Conservation Corps North Bay, holds free e-waste collection events in your community. You can drive up, drop off, and drive on.
The next free event is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Municipal Service Center in Santa Rosa, across from Finley Park on Stony Point Road.
To see a list of acceptable electronic waste and to learn more about recycling programs in your area, visit ZeroWasteSonoma.gov. Then bring your unwanted or broken electronic devices for recycling.
Dispose of your electronics this weekend in Santa Rosa at the free recycling event at the Municipal Service Center, 55 Stony Point Road. Join us as we strive for zero waste in Sonoma County.
Overlooking the water with gorgeous views of the bay, the Bayview Restaurant at the End of the Tides has hosted a monthly winemaker dinner series featuring the finest local wineries and winemakers for over 30 years.
The Bayview Restaurant serves classic Italian cuisine featuring locally grown foods. During the Winemaker Dinner Series, you'll get to talk one-on-one with winemakers and winery executives, all while enjoying a variety of award-winning wines paired with their cuisine. As always, the Inn at the Tides has special room rates for winemaker dinner guests. You'll get free parking, internet, and full breakfast included with the room. For winemaker dinner or room reservations, call 707-875-2751 or go online at innatthetides.com.
The Inn at the Tides, less than 30 minutes from Santa Rosa, but seems a world away. Go to innatthetides.com and click on Winemaker Dinner Series for more info.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Sunny skies for the weekend. Today, a high of 75, 58 along the coast. Mostly clear skies tonight, low 43, 44 on the shores. 75 then for Sunday, 61 in Bodega Bay. Partly cloudy for Monday at 78, 63 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
We'll be right back. It is Garden Talk. It is live at KSRO, as always. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. We're focusing on sudden oak death because this coming Tuesday, there's a big seminar happening on Aviation Drive at the UC office, so you can learn all the latest research. And there's also a certification one that's happening the following week. You can go to the UC website for all of that information. They are free, but you do need to reserve in advance. So, Carrie, give us some good news. What about research? What about research that may be promising?
Oh, that's always the thing with a topic such as sudden oak death. Well, we already talked about how researchers have found that possibly about a quarter of coast live oaks may have some sort of resistance to the pathogen. And then I think earlier I was talking about how nurseries actually play a critical role here. First, the bit of bad news. So just recently it was discovered that a shipment that went out to multiple states did have infected material. And one thing people don't think about in California is that we're not the only place that has an environment conducive to this pathogen. If you look at the southern eastern part of the United States, they actually have better conditions for this to grow. So it really is important that we do our job here and study this so that it doesn't escape even further. But going back to that good news, so nurseries. Well, there is a research lab at the Dominican University. It is called NORSDUC. So it is the National Ornamental Research Site at Dominican University in San Rafael. And some research coming out of there in the last year is showing that there's this biocontrol possibility with a fungus called Trichoderma that can actually parasitize and kill Phytophthoras if they're in soil. So this is not like if it's infected in a plant, but let's say you're in a nursery and you're worried about spreading the pathogen through soil. Well, they've now found that this is a possibility. There's a lot of steps to go through right before it could possibly be something that people are selling. But that is, this pathogen's not the top of the food chain anymore. We found something that can kill it, and that's always great news. Another thing is that in California, we still have about 3/4 of our potentially infected land not infected. So it's still worth trying, you know? It's not like we're at this point where all of these places are gone.
Pat, good morning, and thanks for joining us on Garden Talk this morning. Calling from Windsor, what can we do for you?
Hi, I purchased a large amount of plants that I put in a bed, and they were called dahlias, which I believe is part of the dahlia family.
I'm not familiar with that. Dahlia. Must be a cross between dahlias and...
Are you saying dahlia or dahlita?
D-A-H-L-I-T-A.
Dahlia. Okay. That's a new one.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right, let's go
anyway,
ahead.
What they look like is little dahlias. I mean, I'm talking maybe 2 to 3 inches across, okay?
Oh, okay.
I guess what I'm just asking, they're finished, okay? Should I just cut them off and hope they come back next year? See, I don't know whether they're a perennial or an annual is really the problem.
I think they're a perennial. A lot of times you can buy them as seeds, and then they grow, and they produce flowers and all that, and then the roots start to develop little tubers. So they reproduce, and they keep coming back from tubers, like a dahlia, except they're really tiny. So, yeah, so somebody comes up with the name dahlia, probably means small dahlia. And so let them die down like you would all your other perennial plants, and when they're completely dead, you could just cut them off just above the ground, okay? Get rid of all the foliage to get rid of that, and then they should come back up again in the spring. And then eventually you're going to have to divide them because those tubers will start multiplying, and each year you're going to get a bigger and bigger clump of flowers. They're really cool. Now I remember what they are. I think there's a few variety names that I can't think of right now, but they will come back every year as long as you have them in good draining soil and they're not going to be sitting in standing water when we do get some rain, then they'll be good to go.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was planning on, but I didn't want to waste my time cutting them all down and then they just die.
Yeah.
But it's worth giving it a shot and see, if they come back as bigger and better or whatever.
Yeah, so they won't get too much bigger, but they'll get clumpier as more little tubers develop. Then they send up more shoots little stems, and then you'll get a bigger clump of a plant.
Yeah, I had a problem with them at one point in the summer, and I'm forgetting now the name. You know, I just had that white stuff on them.
Oh, powdery mildew.
Yeah, powdery mildew.
Yeah.
And so I sprayed them, and it went away, but yeah.
Okay. So, well, perfect. Anyway. Yeah. You let us know what what happens in the springtime.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're in full sun, right? Because they like...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Full sun. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good for you, Pat. Keep us posted.
Okay. See you. Bye.
Bye.
I like saying Dalita.
So funny how, you know, there's always somebody who's changing a name or adding a name, and you think, oh, there's this whole new invention of plants coming out, and no.
From Kenwood, Linda, welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. You have either an oak or a question about oak. Hi.
Hi, I do. We have several valley oaks on our property that are hundreds of years old, and they send out a lot of acorns. And what I've been noticing lately is that where the smaller trees, the volunteers, have grown up over the years, and we've taken them out, nothing seems to grow in that soil anymore. And along our hedge border, we had escalonia that were growing beautifully for at least for the 5 years that we've owned the property. But now they're just all dying. They're getting water. And a neighbor said something about oaks off-gassing something to affect the soil. And I wondered if you had any information about that or where I could look into what will grow where oaks once were.
Never heard of oaks gassing out other plants or anything. Thing is, with oaks, you don't really want to plant underneath them or close to them because oaks don't like the irrigation water that you're going to be giving any of these plants that you plant, unless they're a drought-tolerant plant, a native that work well. They're compatible with oaks. So maybe
we've removed the oaks, though. That's the issue. Like, they're gone. You know, the volunteers are gone. We've pulled them out, but things still aren't growing there at all.
Okay, well, can you dig down in the soil easily, or do you need a dynamite or a head, you know, one of those jackhammers and stuff? How easy is it to work in that soil?
It's got a lot of rocks, but it's diggable.
Okay, it could be that there's just not enough soil there. You've got a lot of rocks, so... you know, maybe you're not giving the plants enough water, or you're digging a hole, and are you taking out that soil and replacing it with something else, or are you putting back the soil that you took out of the hole?
Replacing it.
Okay. I think it all boils down to watering. I don't think you're planting the correct plants for that kind of soil that you have. It would be good to start off by taking a pH of the soil. Mm. That's what I would do, and see if it's in the neutral range. It could be way off the charts and be really alkaline, or it could be really acidic. And so there's a lot of plants that are just not going to be happy. So if you dig a hole, say about a foot deep and a foot wide, fill it up with water. See how long it takes for it to drain out. Okay?
Okay.
I would do that, and... you know, other than first getting the pH of the soil, maybe take the next step and have a elements test, you know, a nutrient test for nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, maybe a few other things, and make sure that your soil is conducive to having other kind of ornamental plants. The best thing that you could do would be planting natives, because your oak trees are natives there. The native plants like the same type of soil that the oaks like, so you might be...
So like ceanothus or something like that?
Yeah, like, what else is out there that are natives? I'm trying to think. Do you want some ground cover or shrubs or...
No, we need it like a hedge. It's for privacy.
You know, like California Native Plant Society has a chapter around here called the Milo Baker chapter with a lot of resources online, especially in particular this chapter has some landscape architects that have donated their time and given a lot of advice on that website if you want to find the Milo Baker chapter of the California Native Plant Society.
And Gwen, what are couples that come to mind?
One sounds great.
One comes to mind that I have is a California wax myrtle.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice, big, green, beautiful shrub, and the deer don't eat it. Little inconspicuous flowers, but that does really well. You don't have to do anything to it. Myrtus californicus, I think, is the name. Yeah, but I'm, like Carrie says, I'm drawing a blank as far as California natives for a hedging, so that resource would be good, but go ahead and have your soil tested anyway. Do the drainage testing, like I said, and make sure that you're not going to be digging a hole on top of some roots where, you know, you cut those plants and then you're right on top of a root. So you got a little bit of work to do.
Where do you get soil tested? What is the resource for that?
You know, I don't know who's out there. Well, who's that one?
I don't have it in at my fingertips, but there is a lab in the Fresno area that we recommend. I think it's called AIS or ALS lab. Something. You can look online. It's really good. They're very competitive, and they have all different price points of how in-depth you want your soil analyzed. Locally, some of the nurseries, Harmony Farms, will also do a soil analysis, too, and they have different prices. Just letting you know.
Yeah, I would check with Harmony Farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you Google soil testing lab in Fresno, and it'll come up with that name that we can't think of right now. But
I think it's like AIS lab or AS something, lab, something like that. Something. So there's a couple places to start. And Linda, would you keep us in the loop about what you discover?
I will. Thank you for your help. Those sound like good resources.
Our pleasure. Thanks.
And yes, Ceanothus would be a good plant to put in.
And Ceanothus would be a good plant to put in, yes. Thanks again. Good hearing from you. Let's grab maybe one more call, possibly, before we have to take a break. Glenda would like a word with us about bamboo. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi, Glenda.
Good morning.
Now, don't make the sign of the devil there over there, Alan. Gee whiz. He's not a bamboo fan. Go ahead.
I have three large pots of bamboo that look... you described them perfectly last week when you were talking about your corn from the wind. And I water them and give them Osmocote regularly, but I was wondering if there's anything else I can do for them.
Actually, no. What, did they turn brown on you, is what you're saying, and fell over?
No, they look like they were painted with gray. The leaves were all curled. Well, they've opened up now, but I just want to give them as much help as I can.
Have they outgrown those containers?
No, this is from the winds.
Okay. Yeah, there's not much you can do about that. Just keep your soil watered. And then early in the springtime, you can go ahead and cut anything out that, you know, doesn't look good.
Oh, it shows it's really gone.
Yeah, so just leave the plants alone now. Just continue to water them. See what they look like in the spring. Sometimes you can even take like a corn broom or like one of those nice little wispy brooms and whack the plant a few times and kind of brush it, and all the old leaves and whatnot will fall off. And then the bamboo that's remaining will look nice still, you know? And so you really don't have to cut it out if you don't have to, if it's looking green and, you know? So don't be too hasty about cutting it out. You can have some, you know, bamboo interest in there.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if there was something more I could feed it or whatever to give it more encouragement.
No feeding now, no nothing. You could just feed it in the springtime, but you just want to make sure you keep the soil damp.
Right. Okay. And then I have one question about fuchsias. At what point do you stop feeding them for the winter?
Now. Months ago.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't do any feeding now. Just keep the soil damp. And in the spring, you know, put them in a protected spot through the winter. And then in the spring, you'll see where the new growth is coming out. Do your pruning then, and more watering and fertilizing then.
Okay, now I have one that has never quit blooming. It always, through the winter, it has one or two little buds.
Enjoy it. And don't do anything to with that. Just enjoy it the way it is, and then you can again do some selective pruning in the springtime. But don't cut off those flowers. They're too pretty.
Thanks so much for your call, Glenda. We appreciate you listening to Garden Talk this morning. We'll come back right after this break and give you the particulars about the sudden oak death Blitz results meeting when we return. This is KSRO.
Windsor hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel a safe distance until you can't smell the gas, and then call 911. First responders will make it safe. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel a safe distance until you can't smell the gas, and then call 911. First responders will make it safe. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
Austin here from More Home Services. I want to tell you about a way you can virtually eliminate smoke and airborne particles that are in your home from the recent fires. It's called an air scrubber, and it's a device that connects to your existing heating and cooling system. And like its name suggests, it scrubs pollutants out of the air that are circulating in your home. It uses a high-intensity UVX lamp to kill viruses, bacteria, and mold, and safe oxidizers that attach themselves to any smoke, chemicals, gases, or odors, and neutralizes them as they pass through the air scrubber. It's super safe and affordable. And to help families in the area, we're offering 40% off of our air scrubbers and free installation during the month of November. If your home smells like smoke and you don't know what to do, we can help. To learn more or to book an appointment, call More Home Services at 707-505-8000. That's 707-505-8000. Or you can find us online at morehomeservices.com.
Hi folks, this is Weston Levins, the deck master, with a great tip for protecting your decks and outdoor wood from winter rains. The best outdoor wood finish on the market today is Q-Tec Extreme from Australia. How do I know? Professional Deck Builder magazine conducted a two-year test of 22 top wood finishes, and Q-Tec Extreme beat them all. Q-Tec Extreme had the best marks in penetration, color retention, and ease of application. Q-Tec Extreme is also the easiest to reapply when the time comes because, as a deep penetrating oil, it will never ever peel or crack. So think about it. You could work harder to apply an inferior finish, but why would you want to do that? Q-Tec is spelled C-U-T-E-K, and Q-Tec Extreme is available at Healdsburg Lumber, Sonoma Paints, and Plaza Paint.
Distributed by Deck Supply Warehouse, LLC, Windsor, California. For more information about Q-Tec Extreme, go to DeckSupplyWarehouse.com.
This is KSRO. A couple of closing comments from Carrie and Alan about what we should look forward to for sudden oak death education.
I just wanted to mention one of our partners at UC Cooperative Extension Sonoma County, which is Sonoma State University's Center for Environmental Inquiry. They've helped us put on the very first bilingual sod blitz in Spanish, and that was this last year. And they have another series of programs coming up this fall, including ethnobotany in Spanish, which seems pretty exciting for some of your viewers. And so you can see their programs at cei.sonoma.edu. And then I will leave it to Alan to remind you about the meeting coming up.
Don't forget, Tuesday, November 12th, 6 to 8 p.m., 133 Aviation Boulevard, which happens to be the UC Cooperative Extension office.
And then we have the sudden oak death training workshops coming up the following week. Is that right?
Correct. And you can find all of the dates and places and times at sodblitz.org under community meetings or
Thank
workshops.
Thank you, Carrie and Alan and Gwen.
Thank you, Steve.
We'll head over to the KSRO.
It's been so fun. Thank you.
We'll move from the greenhouse to the kitchen with Chef John Ash following the news. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.
News, traffic, weather.